Hello, thank you again for joining us this evening in the Reading KKRN studio as the Scratched Up Players present Arts Around Town. I'm here in the studio, Linda Reagan, with Lily Dubois, our technical wizard and creative advisor without whom this show would not be possible. And Jim Dowling is here to talk to us about the Scratched Up Players. And my special guest is John Welsh, who is directing The Fall of the House of Usher at the Riverfront Playhouse. October is here, and it's all about the Rocky Horror Picture Show at Axiom. It's on all month, and if you haven't seen it, it's really a hoot, and they've just been rocking the place. And tickets for Rocky Horror are available at axiomrepertorytheater.com or at the door. Well, maybe at the door, because sometimes they're sold out. That's a big, big show, but they do have standing room, too, apparently. And let's see, at the Riverfront Playwrights Night Out, Junior is November 11th, 12th, and 13th. And that is at Riverfront Playhouse. Actors auditions, and this is also for kids 12 to 18, I believe. Actors auditions are October 23rd and 24th at the Riverfront Theater at 6 p.m. November brings us UPrep's Disney's Descendants, the musical. November 11th through November 19th, tickets are available online or at the door. Cascade Christmas is early this year, written and directed by Lizzie Stockson. It plays December 1st through the 4th. It's a short run. But if you need something to get in the mood, a Cascade Christmas has become Reading's holiday tradition. Axiom Repertory Theater is doing Christmas Story, the musical, with direction by Nancy Hill. It should be spectacular. Dates are to be announced. Riverfront Playhouse presents You Better Watch Out as their Christmas play presentation, December 2nd through December 17th. Tickets are available now online or at Enjoy the Store. And this month, my special guest is John Welsh, director of The Fall of the House of Usher. And now for another announcement. We want to invite you out to the Mountain Community Center for our KKRN Pancake Breakfast. It's this Sunday, October 23rd, 8 a.m. to noon. It's at the Mountain Community Center, 29775. 299 East, Round Mountain. Freshly ground whole wheat pancakes, gluten-free corn cakes, sausage, scrambled eggs, fruit salad, real maple syrup, juice and coffee, all you can eat, $12, and generous family discounts at the door. You can get information at 530-337-1101, or you can go online to kkrn.org. We hope to see you there. And today we're here with my special guest, John Welsh, who is directing The Fall of the House of Usher at Riverfront Playhouse, which opens when, John?
That's this Friday, the 21st of October, and it runs through November 5th.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And what made you pick this play, or did you pick this play?
Well, actually, I think it picked me.
Okay.
I was curious about it when I saw it was on the schedule, so I asked to read the script just to see what it was about. I'm thinking, we're going to have a conflagration on stage. You know, the whole thing's going to culminate in a huge fire or something like that. And I wondered, how are they going to accomplish that? Well, in fact, no, we don't have that. But in reading the play, I came up with some staging ideas that I thought might be a little unique to the new Playhouse. So I started getting excited about it.
Great.
And it evolved.
And it's taken from a story by Edgar Allan Poe.
A short story by Edgar Allan Poe. A lot of people are familiar with that. Actually, there were only three characters in the Poe story. Roderick Usher, his twin sister Madeline, and then the narrator, I think, who is unnamed in the short story. In our story, we have Madeline Usher and Roderick Usher, twin brother and sister, and we have James Brookfield, a childhood friend of theirs, who is summoned to the mansion by Roderick for reasons unknown. But as the play progresses, we find out that there is a secret. There is a dirty, dirty secret that is being hidden, and that finally emerges at the end of the play, and it leads to the destruction of the house and the characters.
And is this secret revealed in the story by Poe?
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's quite a departure from the Poe story. The person that adapted it, Jack Neary, did so. He set it in the 1930s in Boston, in a once fashionable part of Boston called the Hill. And he added a twist to it that is certainly complimentary to Poe, but it's not in the original story. And it's something I've got to stay away from as much as I can. I don't want to divulge too much about what that dirty secret is.
Oh,
because
no.
It's a bit of a shocker, too. It's going to be a shocker to the audience when they see what it is. But I got excited, and then I started thinking about, well, what kind of design do I want? What kind of set do I want to present here? And I want to be as minimal as possible because I wanted to focus on the characters. Now, there are more characters than just the two ushers and James Brookfield. There's also Fiona, the maid, the Irish maid, who is she's kept on because she actually knows more than she should.
Oh,
so they don't want her to stray too far from the house.
And who plays Fiona?
Fiona is Chloe Freeland Davis.
Oh,
I love working with Chloe. She just blew me away when we did Of Mice and Men back in 2019, just pre-COVID, as she played Curly's wife. And she and I just hit it off then immediately because the role of Curly's wife, to diverge a little bit here, is usually played as a vamp, sort of a saucy vamp kind of thing, sexy flirt. And I didn't see it that way. I saw it as a young innocent who married too soon and had never seen enough of the world. So she just wanted to be friends with people.
Yeah, just
and
interested.
And Chloe grabbed onto that. She loved the idea and just took off with it. So here now in Usher, I asked her to do an Irish accent, and she worked so hard, and it sounds so great. She just sounds saucy and sassy and brassy, and I'm just thrilled with her work. She's
great.
Terrific. And we have the character of Dr. Tremblay, who is virtually being blackmailed by Usher because of an incident that happened in the past long ago with his mother when she passed away at Dr. Tremblay's hand. So he's sort of indentured to the family. We have one of the most important characters is Detective Shaughnessy. Michael, if you must know, but I don't like getting too chummy with people, he says.
Now, are you playing this part?
No, I'm not. I'm not playing any parts. No. Except as a director, you get to play all the parts,
which
is so great.
That's true.
But that's the way the story opens, is in a police precinct interrogation room where Shaughnessy has been awakened from the deep sleep that night because of the fire and because of two charred bodies that were found inside the mansion. And outside the mansion, they find James Brookfield, who is just rather disheveled and quite exhausted from the proceedings. So he's brought in for questioning. And what we have from the station house, we have a transition to the parlor. And those are the only two settings I've got. Now, I've got the parlor on the main stage and the proscenium. Very dark colors, very almost blood or wine-colored walls. A lot of fabric. I like using drapes on the stage. And the lighting is phenomenal. Mary Spencer, who I've worked with before a few times, just does a terrific job. She read my mind and just made things work. Just the mood is terrific. But the action moves back and forth between the station house and the parlor. And we do that, I've got, instead of having the station house in a separate area on stage or creating a set on stage apart from the parlor, we've got an area at the new theater off to audiences left, which in front of a door that goes to our green room and to our costume room and the tech room and so on like that. And there's an area of about 4 feet, a ramp on the side of the audience. So I just put in a desk, a chair, a stool, a hat rack, and a phone on the table, and there's our precinct. And the lights, I asked Mary to give us just harsh light, like you'd be grilling somebody, you know, interrogation lights. And she did it. We just got this harsh light shining down on the two people, the Shaughnessy and then Brookfield. So I'm real pleased with it. The transitions are almost seamless between the work on stage and the work in the interrogation room. And again, thanks to Mary. She's got fade in, fade out, spotlights on the people when they're talking to Shaughnessy from the stage. It's been fun. It's been fun to work that way because it's rather novel.
It is, yes. Yeah. Yes, it's an interesting setup now with the new stage.
Right.
And who plays Shaughnessy?
Shaughnessy is Colin Peacock. Colin has been around for years.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
In a long time, I know. He's done Shakespeare. He's done work at the Civic Center. He's done work on the Cascade stage. He's worked at the Riverfront. I think the last thing he did at Riverfront was It's a Wonderful Life, 8 years ago or so, when they did the full stage play, and he played the angel, Clarence. But no, he hasn't done anything, and I didn't have him in mind when I was casting. He was under the radar.
Uh-huh.
And he showed up for auditions and just blew me away. He came in. Shaughnessy, of course, has to be a little Irish. And he brought...
You can do that easily.
Yeah. And he brought the brogue and everything. It's just... He's done a terrific job. And he's got a hard job because he is on stage the entire time. He doesn't leave that interrogation area. So he's there in front of the audience and then talking back and forth between the people on stage, too, when they are in the interrogation mode. My James Brookfield, is Ian Dalzell. Enough said about him.
Yes.
I mean, I think his bio this time said it's this 26th play in Reading, I believe.
Or just in Reading.
Yeah, 26 plays. So he's just grown so much as an actor, and he carries it. Brookfield is a successful writer of, call it pulp fiction, you know, shoot 'em up stories in New York City.
Huh? Like Poe.
Well,
a little,
but it's a little updated. He uses car chases and gun malls and Gatling guns and so on like that. This is what he writes about. But like I said, they were childhood friends, and he's called to the house for what reason he doesn't know, and it's finally we get around to that. We didn't talk about Madeline, the sister, played by Erin Brennan. Erin has just been a joy to work with. Erin has been on stage in Dracula, and she's been on stage.
She was so funny.
I know.
Oh, my
God. Nurse Feratu.
Yes. Oh, she makes me laugh just thinking about her.
And she was in Clue. This time, she's got quite the dramatic role.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to see her, you know, step away from that, we'll call it typecasting, that she'd fallen into. And she was eager to do that. She was very eager to do that. Dr. Tremblay, who we talked about, is played by Forrest Bryant, a newcomer to the stage, but not a newcomer to acting, I find out. He does a fine job. And then Roderick Usher is played by Sean Sampson.
Oh, yeah.
Sean's background, most people would know him from the improv, you know, Reading Improv Group. But he was the monster in Frankenstein, if anybody recalls that, with a lot of makeup. But he did a terrific job in that. He won an ARPY, the Best Actor Award, for The Laramie Project.
Uh-huh.
He's worked with Axiom in God of Carnage.
Mm-hmm.
Did a terrific job in that.
Yes,
but he's got a list of credits, and he's my Roderick Usher. There is another young lady involved, and I won't tell you what role she plays, but she is part and parcel of the secret, the dirty little secret. And it's played by Grace Coe. Grace is a 17-year-old senior in high school.
Oh.
And she was in Peter Pan a year and a half ago at the Riverfront when they did that during COVID as a video presentation. She was active in the Junior Playwrights Night Out and now got her on stage as Claire. And that's all I can tell you about it.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to tell you about it.
So are you familiar with the Playwrights Night Out, the Young Playwrights Night Out coming up?
Yes, somewhat. They're having a director's meeting, I know, this weekend. I think 4 plays have been submitted by local students. After that, after the director's meeting, then there will be casting. There will be auditions for the 4 plays, and then a couple of rehearsals. And
The auditions are October 23rd and 24th for Playwrights Night Out Junior.
Okay.
But I don't know what they're looking for. I mean, is it all for kids? Are they just using kids?
Oh, no. The last time we did, the last time it was written by students, directed by students, and performed by students. So I'm pretty sure it's the same format.
The same.
Here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was written by students.
Matter of fact, thanks to KKRN for recording, broadcasting their work last time.
Oh, was that part of our Scratched Up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
So we'll probably do that again.
Yes. Good.
Yeah.
We need more scripts if you're out there and you're writers. And
and you don't have to be a junior either.
No. You can be any age.
Yeah.
So if you've got an old script laying around that you think we could use on the radio, that would work.
Now, you talked about what's coming up. Also, there's auditions for You Better Watch Out, the Christmas show.
That's right.
It's directed by Carolyn Murray. That'll be her first time on the Riverfront stage directing. But she's got a long list of credits. Good.
You better watch out. December 2nd through December 17th.
Yeah.
And tickets are available online or at Enjoy the Store.
Yeah. That's a cute one. It's I read it a few weeks ago.
Are you auditioning?
No.
Just checking.
The boy gets tired. But it's cute. Two couples, young to middle age. An older fella who plays the father of one of the women, a handy man or a handy woman, it can be either. Mm-hmm. In there,
Josephine the plumber.
Yeah, there you go, something like that. Yeah. But it's a cute one. It's a new take on the Christmas story. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, then we go into next season. Boy, that's a...
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
You don't?
No.
Let me share some of what I know. The first show will be Mama Won't Fly. And it's just what it says. I mean, it is what it sounds like. There's a reason for Mama to fly somewhere for either a wedding or a funeral or what have you. So the whole play revolves around her daughters and family trying to get her on a plane.
Okay.
So it sounds cute. Directed by Jennifer Levins. The next show will be on Golden Pond, which will be co-directed by Marla O'Brien and Rhonda Alvey. You know, I don't think I have to say much about that one. Most people are very familiar with that one. We have The Rabbit Hole being done. It's a powerful script. It's a very powerful script about the loss of a child and the parents' reaction to that. It's very well written, and it's a tearjerker, but we're going to be doing that one. The fall play next year will be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and somewhere, is it in the summer, I believe, we're doing Forever Plaid.
Oh, okay.
Which is going to be just an upbeat,
fun doo-wop. Have they done that before at the Riverfront?
No. I don't believe so. Nothing of that sort.
Okay.
But it's a perfect fit for our stage.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a small band or combo, plus the singers, the doo-wop singers, and I'm looking forward to seeing that one. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's been hard. It was hard. I know being on the board, the struggle it was to get the rights to it. Because everybody wants to do it.
Really? Because I haven't heard of it for quite a while.
Yeah. But
I thought they had done it before at the Riverfront, but apparently not.
I don't believe so. So that, I think, is going to be just a dynamite production. I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
And that Christmas show, I don't remember what the name of that one is, but that just about rounds out the season, I think.
So are you looking at any of those plays to participate in? Possibly.
I'm almost old enough to do On Golden Pond, so I may try out for that. but I understand there's a lot of lines, and I'm getting tired of trying to remember lines. It's hard.
Well, but that's part of On Golden Pond. If you forget your lines, I mean, you're just...
Yeah, he meant to do that.
That's right. I think you'd be great.
Oh, and Rainmaker. I forgot they're doing
the Rainmaker
next year, too. Yes, in the summer, appropriate.
Ian Dalziel, probably.
Could be.
I think that's something he said he wanted to do.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah. Aaron Haney Stewart has put her name in for that one to direct that. She was co-director on Steel Magnolias this past season.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's really good. Because there's a good role in there for a senior.
Uh-huh.
Hmm, I might look at that.
Yeah.
Well.
We'll see.
One at a time.
So, anything else about Fall of the House of Usher?
What else can we say? No, please buy tickets. Go to Enjoy the Store or go online to Riverfront
Playhouse. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's very unusual.
Yeah, it is. It's a different take on the story. Don't go looking for the strict Poe story. It's a different take on it, but it's unique. When I first read it, it gave me the idea. It's like a film noir kind of take on it. So I hope I followed through on that with the tough Irish cop.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Can't wait to see the show.
Good deal.
All right.
See ya.
And my guest, Jim Dowling, is here with Lily, and they're going to tell us what's coming up with Scratched Up Radio Theater. Jim, Lily, take it away.
You bet. Well, we're hoping to resurrect Tanner Hyde and the Search for Truth this coming month. It's a call-in show about Bigfoot, and it's always interesting. It's always different. You never know what you're going to get. We are putting those scripts together right now.
And we're hoping that Tanner Hyde will be in the area in the KKRN studio. He's always got a great, interesting show, and you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, while we're at it, let's just do a little plug for those potential writers out there. This is community radio, and Scratched Up Radio Theater is always looking for new writers, new scripts. I like to say we can turn any kind of ear into a silk purse. So, yeah. Well, honestly, we have a good time with scripts. And if you're new at the craft, don't worry about it. Send it in. We'll work with you. So, you want to add anything to that, Lily?
Well, we just heard from a playwright who was recommended by one of our great local actors. We're hoping that mysterious person, who is anonymous at this point, will come up with something that we'll be able to take a stab at.
You bet. Okay, well, looks like Tanner Hyde is on tap for next month.
Yeah, and how long have we been doing Scratched Up Radio Theater, Jim? Like 5 years now?
Yeah, 5 years, and we've had some very interesting people on board with us, come and go. They're all in the archives. If you want to hear what we've done, everything from Westerns to science fiction to Bigfoot, you name it, we've dabbled in everything you can imagine.
And some fantasies, too.
Okay, well, that's the news with Scratched Up.
And our other producer friend, partner, is Bob Christensen. He's been with us the entire time. And so that's what's happening. And we're going to keep the show going, hopefully, in perpetuity.
Yeah.
We just want you to join us.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It is so much fun here. We really have a great time. So if you got to play, let us know. And how do they get a hold of us, Jim?
Well,
by email. And Jim's email address is...
Okay, it's Thieving Bear. I'll spell it out. Thieving Bear, B-E-A-R, at yahoo.com. And please send in those scripts.
And if you can't get a hold of Jim, you can try me, which is E-L-E-D-B-W-A at yahoo.com. Hope to hear from you all.
So I just want to say thank you to my guests, Jim Dowling and John Welsh. And thank you for joining us. And we'll talk to you next month.
The butcher, the baker, the grocer, the clerk are secretly unhappy men because the butcher, the baker, the grocer, the clerk get paid for what they do but no applause. They'd gladly bid their dreary jobs goodbye for anything theatrical and wild. Like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow. Where could you get that happy feeling when you are smile.